Log Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On The Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Happy Thursday, everybody. We have made it to the nearing of the ending of another work week. Thanking God for being here. I want to thank tonight's sponsor, Mr. Mark Pittman, for his contribution and support to our show's mission. And I want to thank our consultant, Mr. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio in New York City, currently with iSoulRadio.com. You can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m., again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, ladies and gentlemen, he is gracing New York City with the best of live R&B events as the CEO of Track One Entertainment. I want to thank my panelists, Mr. Patrick Irvine, Mr. Hakeem Zayed Bey, Mr. Salo Jenkins, Al-Tariq Atkins, Professor Carl Stone Jones, none other than Mr. Deacon Betty Williams of Toledo, Ohio, an activist out there as well as an active panelist here, to my team, Lady Diamond Elaine Nieves, Monster Miles, DJ Bill Mercolotney Williams, and to my On the Edge Listeners Lounge, to my Black Love and Conversations group, to Mark Pittman's group, the Real World Black News and Discussions group, and the Black History Suppress group, to Marvin Young with the What About, I'm sorry, to Professor Carlson Jones and the What About Us group, to Marvin Young and the Capitalist N group, to Sonny Gibson and the Black Mamba group, and to the pro-black topics of Isaiah Bauer. So I want to thank every one of you for your constant participation with the pre-broadcast conversations that we have. Okay, tonight we are in the middle of our third part of our State of the Black Youth series. Tonight we're going to be discussing the effects of our youth on I am going to be speaking on the effects of the independent black woman on our black youth, what it is that they deal with, the elimination of the black male's role when we get back from our pre-broadcast discussion song and our sponsor break. We will get this party started. Here's Joe with Compromise. Be back in just a few. Keep it locked with Katie. Don't go away.
Thank you.
Like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on The Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more on The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, and now it's discussion time. Okay, we have been in the middle of a series, week-long series, and it is called State of the Black Youth, and we have been touching on different issues that we as a black community have been concerned with, upset with, outraged with, and we're speaking from the point of view on the direct effect on the youth. All right, ladies, today it's our turn. We are going to be speaking on the effects of this new independent woman community that has come out. And let me make it very clear that when I am speaking about this independent woman situation, I am not speaking about you single moms out there that are not trying to alienate your fathers, just you are having to do it because he is not stepping up for whatever reason. I'm not speaking about you ladies that are out there trying to hustle and just keep it together for your kids and doing it all. So let me give you your kudos and let me let you know that's not what I'm referring to. Here's what I'm referring to, ladies. I'm referring to you guys out there. I don't need no man for nothing. Nope, I could do it all alone. I don't need this father to be in here. I could do it for myself. That's where we're at. Okay? We're going to start off with the problem as it stands. A, black men already being, the role of the black man is already being eliminated by, if it's not police brutality, if it's not incarceration, if it's not denying qualified black men the rights to make a living, if it's not these governmental programs are supposed to be, quote-unquote, assisting the single mom by making it a requirement, not saying it outright, of course. But, of course, if a woman is stating that she's by herself with kids, they'll offer assistance a lot quicker, and they'll help to cover everything that there is. And then we're talking about all of these athletes that are coming out gay and all of these people that are being sold off into the white media. all of our icons that actually stand up for something that can empower and restructure and further progress the state of the black community, we're being pushed off because either they're being offered some severance plies, because since they take everything away from the black community, offering us a piece of what looks like more than we've ever seen before is definitely something that would be more enticing than actually struggling it out or making an honest living and giving back to the community. Let's talk about the fact that, as we spoke about in previous segments, the biggest beacons of the black community, such as the church, has dried up because the media is offering them a whole lot more to do TV ministries. So all of these things that have affected us as a black community of adults now has diminished the role of the black leaders, the procreators. Now my question is this new independent woman thing adding to the pool? So, ladies, we speak about, we don't need a man. Usually that comes from some anger that we have because we've been played by the men, or the men have left us, or we're angry, or whatever the case is. Understandably so. The black woman has the worst burden to carry. We are everybody else's nurturers. We are everybody else's servants. We are everybody else's cheerleaders. Yet, in order for us to get a piece of that or any type of whatever, it's been absorbed into white privilege. We have definitely stood by our men, and we have taken their condescension, and we have taken their mouth. We have taken their betrayal. We have taken their teasing of us, choosing to do certain things for ourselves. And, you know, that's one of my pet peeves, speaking about how they'll make fun of us for choosing a weave or a wig or a hair color, but turn around and we'll walk side by side and probably hang on to an other culture who's doing the same exact damn thing after we've been through there when they were broke or when they were down. But on the other hand, let's take a look at what the outsiders have done. They have told the black man, you can't be in the house to take care of your children. They have told the black man, you can commit the same nonviolent crime as a white person, but a white person is going to get a reprieve, or they're going to be given the excuse to be understood. We're going to understand why they did it, but we're not going to give you the same affordability. We have watched as police have come up with every damn excuse that there is to shoot a black man because of their fear of their physical structure, because of their fear of whatever color they might find scary, because of the fact that we emit prowess and power and strength that they feel will overpower them. We are a resourceful group. A black man, when he is attached and dedicated to his family, there's nothing like it. Well, they have been told, you mean nothing. Understand, ladies, that a black man can sit there and take all of that outside garbage. If only the woman in his life can sit there and still be his cheerleader and support him and give him comfort at the end of the day. For those of you guys who are deliberate, by choice, deadbeats, do not start clapping your hands, because I'm not bashing the women for anything other than we are doing some things that can offset it. Now I want to ask you this question. After we've done all of this, and after we have allowed our children, or our children have not, we have not been able to control our children seeing that their daddies are being taken away in handcuffs, and we're talking about daddies, not just fathers whose sperm did a job they wasn't expecting to happen. I'm talking about fathers, those that will pick up pennies or go outside and work these 3-4 odd jobs to make sure their children never go hungry. We're talking about those men that want to be by their women's side and want to make the family structure work and want to be out there marrying their queens. We're too busy telling them, you're a no good nothing. We don't need you. We can do this. We can do this. But you know what? We can't teach our boys how to be men without a man in our life. Did I say that we can't do it if we have to do it? No. But we shouldn't have to. We didn't make the babies by ourselves, as much as all of you independent women out there would like to say that. We cannot impregnate ourselves. We do not emit our own sperm. We do not sit there and grow a penis to tell our boys how to point their penises in the toilet to go the right way. All we can do is we can go by the diagram. We can imagine what it's like. We can figure it out. And deep down inside, all of you independent women, you're looking for that proper relationship. You're looking for a man to treat you the way it was supposed to be when in the beginning of time. You're looking for all that, but you know what? It didn't happen for you, so guess what? We mad now. We want to turn to what we feel is the only thing available to us, and that's possibly another woman. When we get raped, when all the bad things about the power of a man comes out and makes us bad, this is where we turn. We don't want to be bothered. We can't face it. We can't trust again. Understandably so in a lot of situations, but you single moms, I can guarantee you, if you could do it over, if you had somebody that is willing to stand up and take the other half, or if their fathers really are trying to do the right thing, tell me you wouldn't appreciate the break. If he's not sitting there drinking, drugging, smoking, sagging, doing all the other things that make us look so bad to the outside world, don't tell me you're not going to sit there and embrace it. Just because we can do it doesn't mean that we have to sit up there and push away what we should be doing. No, a lot of you women are out there going, oh, my God, how could she say these things? I'm in it, too. And I know that no matter how strong we are, no matter how tough we are, yes, we can get it done, ladies. Believe it or not, when we were created with a lot more sense and resourceability than men were. Men were designed to be protectors and providers, not so much thinkers or strategists. That was our job. As I said before, in case you men are walking around saying, I'm calling you dumb. Nope, that's not what I'm saying. When you guys were out there with your little sword slaying the big beast, you brought it home in a bloody heap, and we had to figure out how to make it a meal. So each of us need the other. For whatever our differences are, it eventually becomes a team goal. There's a reason why men do things their way, and there's a reason why women do things their way. So let's talk about what the pros and cons are. Well, the pros are if we're a single mom or we're an independent woman, if our husband should get disabled, we can hold the fort down. We sure proved that when our men went to war, we had to keep things flowing. We know how to handle the books. We can fix a car if we have to. We've learned how to do certain things. We can handle our boys. We can handle our girls. However, there is a particular lesson girls learn when they're little with the first man that should be in their life is their dad. They learn safety. They learn value. They learn worth. Depending on what type of dad they have, that's their first man lesson. We can't do that. We cannot teach them what type of man to look for. We can't teach them from a man's point of view what a man should be doing if he truly cared and valued her. We can't be objective past our umbilical cord connection. That's the one part we have that the men don't have. We would tend to nurture, protect, and keep out of harm's way a lot faster because of the fact that there are certain things we will not do because we feel it's cruel or we couldn't possibly hurt our babies that way. That is just the way it is. Men, on the other hand, are slightly a little bit detached from that because, as I said, they can see things a little more objectively. They are a lot more easy to be stern about certain things that we wouldn't have. That's the type of, let's say, authority that they emit to their children. They're a little more logical about certain things, and we're a lot more emotional about it. For you men going out there go, yeah, you sloppy women, well, listen, back off, because that doesn't mean that we will not, if we have to, put a cap in their butt if we need to. I know a lot of you men are walking around there, yeah, Big Mama was no joke. Absolutely, but I can guarantee you that Big Mama knew how to respect her male counterpart. There is a difference between being tough and independent, ladies, and forgetting the fact that there is a little bit of interdependency that needs to happen in order for our children to have a full, well-balanced role upbringing. Just because we can do it doesn't mean that that's the way it's supposed to be. We have this really bad tendency of doing it. Now, if we are out there telling our black men that they ain't nothing and they ain't crap and there's this, what difference are we doing to the white supremacists telling our men that you need to be shot, jailed, incarcerated, or enslaved? That we want your body parts so that we can create more like you and put them to work, rechain them. What are we telling our boys when we tell their fathers in front of them to get the hell out of here, we don't need you? What are we telling our girls What value are we putting on the family structure or the importance of a strong foundation to grow up? What are we telling our girls and our boys? How do you think they're seeing it? You're having these girls grow up, and they're either being masculine or they're walking around saying, you ain't nothing, but I need you for your body parts, the part that gives me sexual pleasure when I can't do it for myself, the part that gives me, fighting ability. I need to use you for a bodyguard. I need to use you for money. You're a trick daddy. You're a sugar daddy. Is this what we want to tell our kids? If you walk around saying, I don't need a man for nothing except every now and then when I need to get it, and that's it. Now, I've been looking at a couple of these dudes that's out there talking about the failures of the independent black women. Let's talk about, you guys all know I can't stand Tommy Sotomayor, but even a broken clock is right twice a day. So some points that he makes are absolutely on point. However, the delivery and the presentation in it is what brings us right back to what our problem is. Walter Lee Hampton, he's another one that was talking about the failures of an independent black woman. Forgetting the fact that independence doesn't mean what we're trying to say that it is. Independent black woman is supposed to mean just that. She can do things by herself if need be. We have now put it out to be that we are doing things by ourselves because it should be, and that is a wrong message, ladies. And I'm speaking to you because we are first and foremost the caretakers, the primary caretakers. That's just the way it is. It's not a sexist thing. It's just what it is. Even back way back in the days, it was the mothers at home. Daddy was at work. Their role was to sit there and enforce what mama said, to address what didn't happen with the kids there when he was away at work, to reinforce what's going on, to unite. But most of the day, they were with their mamas. The first thing that's going to happen is with their mama. But boys will not turn to mom right away. Boys are not going to come to you when there's a puberty issue. Boys are going to feel embarrassed talking to you about a sexual issue. You're not going to be able to tell them how to deal with those feelings. You can talk about it from a third-party point of view as the recipient of what a man would do. And that's the best we can do, ladies. We can do good at it. Don't get me wrong. We're real good at it. If we have to, believe me, a mother will stand up and fight God if she had to. But that is the point. There's a point in time where we have to stop thinking about them as our babies. That's the part men can do. Not saying ladies can't do it either, because I know there's some tough people out there. But we're already tough enough having to bring them into the world. It's bad enough that the role we play in society is that without us, they couldn't be here. So we're pretty much going through life-threatening situations, a hell of a lot of pain, altered body physique, all sorts of things to raise a bunch of kids that's going to grow up and disrespect us, use us as sexual playthings, target us, and beat us and tell us how stupid we are. Okay, so now let's talk about how this independent black woman thing affects the way our children think of themselves. Let's see. Without a proper male figure in their life, and I did say proper males, we have things like Vivian Siviano, who the only thing she could do is become the mistress or associated mistress of a racist, outright person who clearly told her, you're good for looks, you're good for sex. Matter of fact, I don't care if you sex up everybody, but don't bring your identity into public around my prestigious organization. We have a bunch of women that walk around thinking the way life is measured in success is by how many rich guys you can get or how many guys with money you can get to parade you around like hooker dress, high-powered, paid mistresses, escorts, or just outright whores, on basketball-wise, to fight among each other over a guy who's clearly playing both of you. Meanwhile, a real, solid, proper male figure in your life would have been told you when you were knee-high to duck's feathers that you are a princess, you are worth everything, and you're my princess, so nobody is good enough for you. He would have taught her emotional strength. He would have taught her some physical strength. He would have told her what to look for because he's probably been there, done that in his heyday. So how does this affect our youth? Now we are dealing with not just super bold media. Now we are dealing with outright blatant. Listen, it may have been blatant back in the shadows back then, but now it's a routine. Now it's newsworthy. Society is showing you that if you are, even if you are a young black male, you are a target. You are not worthy of being seen in public, walking free, allowed to have civil liberties. You're not worth a damn. We're not going to help your family when you're down and out unless you get the hell out of the picture so we can give them peanuts and have them jump through hoops for that. They are telling our kids, we're going to handcuff your daddy right in front of you, maybe shoot him right in front of you, and then what? They are telling our black males, you cannot express yourself with certain fashions unless you're looking like a clown, unless you look like a thug, so we can have an excuse to tell the world why we thought you were a threat. If you're 16 and 17, you're considered an adult in our eyes. If you're an 8-year-old kid getting punched out by a white stranger who's been in jail 60 times, you're still not worth the justice. So what on earth, ladies, are we telling them when we turn around and add to that by saying, I don't need you for a damn thing except sex or money or to say I have a dude on the side somewhere or something to be played and manipulated? What are we telling our friends when they see him come by to try to talk and we're going, oh, get out of here, you dumb bastard. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you telling your boys? What are you telling your girls? What are you telling your boys when you're sitting up there and bringing them to the breast while the men are out of the picture? What are you telling your boys when they're busy beating up their women in front of you? And you're too scared to confront them. And you're too scared to stand your ground and say, you are absolutely wrong. Now you have to pay a consequence. I'm going to be there for you if you got to go to court, but guess what? No, ladies, you know that's not the first thing that we're going to do. We're going to cry our eyes out and think of ways to cover them up. Not everybody. But we will. The independent black woman? No, this is the ostracizing of black men. We have taken away the value of what independence means. We have taken away the celebratory effect of what independence means because we have taken it to a level that means eliminate the other half of your children's well-being, your children's balance. We have devaluized what we have the values, let me say that correctly, the structure and value of what family means. We have altered the perception and we have projected an image of we are supposed to be substandard just like they say. We don't even have babies traditionally anymore. We're going to sperm banks, which still, by the way, ladies, is taking a piece of a man. Because whether they are physically there or not, a piece of their physical DNA needs to impregnate you. So what are we doing? You guys know what to do if you want to talk and answer me back. If you don't, 347-327-9967, press 1 and I'll know you want to say something. Speaking of, there's a panelist coming in. Hang on just a minute. Oh, 2. Okay, we're in 1 minute. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening, Lady Barnett, and hello to the future panelists that will be joining us tonight. God bless you and your families.
Back at you, Deacon. Welcome to the show. Hold on a minute. Let me bring the other one in. You'll have the mic first. Welcome to the show, Carlos. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Carlos Willoughby Jones with Stalo Jenkins, caller from D.C.
Yeah, Stalo, right. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to need you to speak up when it's your turn, babe, okay?
All right. Okay.
Deacon, what is your take on tonight's topic? How does the independent woman affect our youth?
Well, it can have a positive and it can have a negative effect on our youth. You know, it all depends on what some of these independent women considering themselves as being a help, or they could be a negative. You know, so you know, if you have these women that are walking around, well, I don't need a man and this and that, but there's always going to be a need for a man. It's just like a man is always going to have a need for a woman somewhere, you know, at all times, you know. So it's supposed to be an even balance in that. That's the way God meant for it to be, so that's the way it should be. And who are we to go against that? So the negative thing is that a woman, and I can say that a woman can raise a male or a female, because my mother had to do it, so, you know, and I turned out okay. I don't have any gay tendencies or anything, because you have some people that say that that's why a lot of our young black men are turning out gay, because they were raised by a single parent. That's just a bunch of bull. And then there's the point, there's some things that a woman can't teach a young man that's growing up. It's just like a man can't teach a young lady things she needs to know. So it's like I said, it needs to be an even playing field for when you're dealing with young people. You know, and as far as the independent woman, as long as they're not what I might call extreme independent woman, you know, this there could be a positive and a negative.
Okay, and that's absolutely wonderful input there. Okay, Stella, you're up.
I'll say this. As far as the thing is, I feel like we tend to embrace too much, you know, foreign concepts. So, you know, and you know, that independent woman archetype that was created, not just what it means to be independent. Independence is always great, of course. We know independence is good in certain contexts, and you also have to have interdependence. But the independent woman, independent black woman, quote unquote, became an archetype, stereotype that we as a community started to embrace. You know, what's the difference between a white supremacist and a self-hating black complacentness, or whatever you want to call it? Like, what's the real difference between these two people? It's so small that now, you know, for those of us that got, you know, issues regarding our own race, we need to really, you know, we need to deal with them now, you know, like now. We just need to deal with them. Whatever clothes you find it now, because at this point, we, you know, those of us who are waking up to see that, you know, a lot of the, you know, the double reverse media propaganda and everything, how it's been affecting our youth by what we're seeing now, how it's been affecting their sexuality by what we're seeing now, how it's been affecting, you know, their socialization, or how it affects the way they incorporate the internet into their lives, all of that, you know. And now if Khawaja Gunjufu said to us, right, if he said that the biggest influence on a black child, specifically a black male child, was three things: TV, peer pressure, and rap music, right? I would say that the biggest influences on the black daters could easily be peers and the media at large. Now, the way we really, the way we are forming our opinions on romance, on dating, on how we are supposed to deal with the opposite sex, a lot of it is coming from foreign people, foreign things. The media at large, you know, people who are brainwashed by the media at large, all of that is not what we need as a people. It's not what we, it's the reason we're having all of the problems we're having individually and collectively. You know, for as a black community, we need to study and seek knowledge in every one of our crafts and what we do, especially family building. That's what dating really is. It's not dating. See, the white people, okay, excuse me, not even necessarily the white people, but, you know, the blind person calls it dating, okay? Or the blind person called it dating because they need a date. They need something to do on a specific date because they're so lost or bored with their lives. But what we're doing is family building. It's a craft. It's an art
It's a form of worship. It's a way that we love each other, you know. So it's family building. Instead of dating, instead of going out and this and that and all the other crap we call it, you know what I mean? We got to change a lot of the mindset how we even deal with each other on that level, because we keep doing things similarly, you know. And I noticed something with the youth that I deal with, even with, I'm not even going to say with the youth that I deal with, but I've noticed something with youth, you know, throughout my life that I think, I find it really, really interesting how the children who, you know, are most, you know, there's a lot of female children and male children who are both, all they really care about is whether they're doing something somebody else did. And when we grow up, we do the same thing. You know, when we get in our dating relationship, we deal in our relationships, a lot of times I've been in a relationship with a woman who had more, you know, it really wasn't peer pressure, because it wasn't pressure, because it was almost like they were seeking it out, you know. It's like, instead of going to, like, as a man, and I think what you said earlier, that men are more objective, has you know, a lot of good support, because as a female, right, females bring life into the world. And as human beings, we bring life into the world, you know, through bringing more human beings into the world. But a female, it's obviously obvious how she does it. She brings life into the world. She is the vessel that life comes in. She is life herself. You know, it's obvious, the womb, she carries the child. It's something so beautiful, but we don't do it. We don't do that at all, but we still bring life into the world. So when we start to make sense of ourselves, we look to the outside of us a lot. A lot of times we look to, are we going to have a family? Did we have a family? Did you get a lot of money? Did you go through this experience? This is just everything natural gets perverted these days. You see? So then just the patriarchal mindset even took over, you see, to an extent. You know, trying to prove that you give life. Because, you don't see a man carry a child. You don't even see him make love to his wife. You just assume. Now, as far as a woman, we know a woman carries child. That is so godly, you see. So that is amazing to us. So then you have the difference in the male and female mindset in a little way, you see. But when we family building, we need to be thinking about stuff like that rather than thinking about, you know, housewives and this, that, and, oh, girl, do you think I should deal with this? Or, hey, that's real, you know. If you was me, hey, come on, man, if you was me, would you still deal with her? Da-da-da-da, all that crap. That's not how you dive into your soul. First, maybe open a book. Deal with yourself first when you're dealing with a relationship. We don't do that. We box our own relationships into situations. You know,
absolutely.
We just fall into habit. For what?
That's true. And I will say this: when I put out the pre-broadcast question today, I got quite some wonderful, awesome input, and I'm gonna bring up a couple of points that stood out with me. All right. One of the things that a responder said was, we should teach our kids not to date these types in the first place, so that they won't find themselves raising kids alone or raising families alone. Once again, ladies, that's a perfect point, because without both teachings, without both men and women being in the picture, how do we teach a full balance lesson? Well, like I said, to you ladies that's been out there doing your thing, okay, to those of us, and I say us because I'm one of them, that has to get out there and make decisions on a daily basis, not because that's what we choose to do or because it's what we have to do. Because whether our counterparts decide to plug up their eyes, their mouth, their ears like the three monkeys and pretend that they don't have responsibilities, our children are growing anyway. Our children still need anyway. We still have to feed them, clothe them. We still have to meet their needs and deal with their psychological balance. all of this stuff, I'm not speaking to y'all. I'm not speaking to any of you. That's you doing what you have to do. When I see independent, that's what I see. A woman that knows that if she has to, she knows what to do. That if she's stuck with a car, she doesn't have to depend and wait like a damsel in distress until, you know, some guy knows what he's doing and handles a basic spark plug change or something to that effect. Right. When I see a woman that knows how to balance a checkbook, this is what I see when I see independent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a woman being a man-hater or acting as such. Now, what the choices that our daughters make and men that they grow up with comes from their dad and their mom as well, but the choice in men, usually for a girl, it lies on what type of male influence she had growing up. If her father was there from day one saying, nope, you absolutely do not handle that, you are too good for that, you're too good for that, I love you to death, you can do better, this and that, she's going to definitely be sure that she can grow up knowing that a man that's treating her badly is not worth her time. She is not going to look for a guy to validate her existence. She is not going to look for a man to need her to take care of him or to do for him. She's going to know what it's like to adopt a guy in her life that's going to be her equal partner to complement what she already has for herself.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a boy out there that had a father in his life, he is going to know what is proper, what is not proper. He's not going to put value so much on being a man based on how many panties he then dropped, based on how many women he has chasing after him, based on how many girls can do for him.
Right.
He's going to want to go out there and work. He's going to want to go out there and be a provider for his family and teach his sons when he gets older how to do the same, teach his daughters how to be cherished flowers.
Mm-hmm.
This girl's not going to grow up angry, wanting to stick it to a man because that's what they do to women first. This is not what we're going to have. This guy is going to know how to listen. It's not about hitting my woman because her mouth was too big. And it's also not about him being henpecked because some woman is making him look bad. He's not going to have a problem or feel that his manhood is threatened because a woman said something. You know, I've seen what I call long-term black love. And what I mean by that is, as a matter of fact, our sponsor's parents are about to celebrate their 60th anniversary. And I have asked my grandfather when he was alive, as well as my uncles, how do you guys stay married so long? And I've heard from my uncles and grandfather tell me, sometimes you got to know what's not an argument. Okay? They think they got you, but you really got them. It doesn't make you any less of a man to say, oh, listen, you know your grandmother's going to go crazy if that vase is not on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of times where men know it's not about arguing your wife down or proving that you're a man by having the last word. It's about knowing how to say, you know what, it's not even worth it, bro. Because each of you are making the other one happy. For us women, it's the same with us. It's not us being submissive or doing whatever because we let our men take the lead. That's what they're supposed to do. Because a lot of times, usually, we are the ones that they're doing it for anyway. They slapped their gums and they did whatever. But in the end, we kind of do always get what we said in the first place. Men have that thing. They have to be egotistical. They're going to walk around saying, I don't know who you think you're talking to. I'm a grown man.
Grown man.
Sometimes if we can go, yes, honey, you're grown. Yes, you are, dear. Mm-hmm. Sure. Knowing that at the end of it, he's saying that while he's mowing the lawn anyway. So where exactly do we lose it? Where do we lose our worth? Where do we lose our womanhood in doing such a thing? Instead of looking at it as it's a balance of peace and it's going to keep the household flowing smoothly. What do we tell our children? What are girls and boys growing up to believe? Thinking you've dealt with things, like you said, a single parent household. We've heard your story quite a bit. You've also dealt with youth beyond yourself. And what are the effects you see of single parent households versus a family that sticks together, and even if they're not together, they know how to handle each other? Deacon? All right, we're having a connection issue.
Yes.
Deacon, are you there? Okay. Getting back to that, I have seen quite a bit of long-term couples tell their secrets. And I've seen the older, you know, real male role models sit there and tell their younger sons or even their grown married sons, no, that's not the way to do it. That's just stupid, dude. Let me tell you how you do it. Let me give you the secret. You know, your mama used to think she had this and that, but this is what I really did.
But see, and what's sad is we almost have to, and see, not we, but people have to operate on that level because that's the level that people are dating on. That's the level that people are sharing their bodies and romantically dealing with each other on, some game level. You see, we keep saying, who got game? You got, I ain't got no game. This dude ain't got no game. The words we're using are really, they're turning the way we're dealing with each other. It really, really is, you know. And that's what it talks about in the power of the word, and the power in words, the word, a whole bunch of stuff goes into that. But we actually say to each other, when talking about each other, what we're going to do with each other, private parts, the times we're going to have with each other, we talk about, do we got game or not? Damn. God damn, we really say that word. Instead of saying, how do we, or whatever. You know, it's so crazy. We need to stop dealing and coming on the level of this mainstream media, the TV, sitcom. This is not how you're supposed to date. That all of that stuff supposed to be satire, supposed to be funny, but, you know, it's been morphed into trying to reflect reality in such a way that it's no longer humorous, it's no longer clever, it's just, it's just shocking. Now, we're so entertained by shocking instead of being entertained by clever because they, in some ways, they're dumbing us down.
Well, we speak about often the effects of the media. And nowadays, all they're showing about women being, quote, unquote, strong, independent, successful women are women that are degraded even in the character they play. And it's a sad
wow.
thing. We are projecting the image out there, telling our girls that you got to be dressed with the most expensive things, that if the man is what we need them for, that it's about fighting them, it's about catching them in the lie, it's about doing this. We're doing that. Now, I didn't grow up with a father in the household, but my father was old school. And as I said on a previous segment, as much as he was not there and as much as he taught us in his twisted way, he taught us some valuable lessons. Now, it's a sad thing that it had to come from some male point of view situation. That is the way he taught us about hygiene. That is the way he taught us about self with a man. That is what he taught us. He taught us based on his view as a man. You ladies got to keep it together because don't no man want to smell a nasty woman. You know, and he was very funny about hygiene, which in turn made me funny about hygiene. Okay, so I'm very funny about, you know, guys that sweat and want to come up long and don't feel it's a disrespect or offensive to walk up when you stink or whatever the case is. So from his point of view, whereas my mom would have said it a different way. No, it's more of a biological way and more of a anatomical situation. That was a thing. But a man was like, nope, you don't want to walk around stinking. That's just disrespectful to yourself. Because don't no man want to hear about no woman being stinky. And you don't talk about that monthly time. You don't do this. So men have a way of teaching that a woman can't do. The same way that he would teach his boys.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to sit up there and have no woman take care of you, man. What's wrong with you? Get out there and go do something with yourself. Go get a job. And at the same token, he also, from his point of view, used to come whenever my mom would call, as much as there were other things we saw with him. If my mother called him and said, my brother, you know, sucked his seat back at her and wouldn't listen, or we didn't do something, wherever he was, he would race up there. And I remember he had a blue Impala. We saw that Impala come, and that was it. But his whole presence exuded fear from us or respect from us. It exuded authority. Now, he would sit there and go, what did you do? Okay, bang. will come and punish us. We probably won't see him for another 3-4 weeks. But we knew when he got called, that was it. And one of the things that he put out there was, you do not disrespect your mother. I don't care what you see us go through. You don't have the right to say that.
You know, Go ahead.
No, Deacon, is that you?
Yeah.
All right, because I just called you in and we didn't get through to you, so I guess your connection's back.
Yeah, I kind of lost you for a few seconds.
Okay.
Yeah, but
then
I wasn't hearing anything. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are being brought out this evening, but there's a simple solution to all of this, and once we as a people start realizing that, we can solve a lot of our problems, because it's something that we have gotten away from, and we have gotten away from this book of instruction before leaving this earth. And once we start back applying that to our everyday life, a lot of people have a misunderstanding of that book of instruction, because they feel like it's like, well, we have to go back to the old ways. No, it's about applying that word to your everyday life of today.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And if once we get back to that way of living, things will be a lot better, because right now the entire world are going by worldly things. And there are sometimes when you have to stop, take a good look at yourself and start looking at things spiritually. I know some people may not agree with it, but I really don't give a care about that, because the truth is the truth. I mean, because we haven't always been here, you know, in this world and going through the things that we are going through today. If you pay attention to what's going on in the world, a lot of things that have been moved out of our lifestyle and the problems that we're having are because of those things that have been removed from our lifestyle. You look at our schools. You know, they have a problem with reciting the Pledge of Allegiance or even having prayer in the schools, and that's something that our country was built on, you know, and that's part of the things that gave us strength and made us who we are today. And even with this women independent thing, okay, I can understand you want your independence, but God meant for a man and woman to be together. And it's not, like I always say, it's not about the woman being in the front or in the back. She's supposed to be right by his side, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's not about you have some women that have a problem about being submissive. Now, I'm not going to be submissive. Well, you misunderstanding the word submissive. And there's a point to where a man even has to be submissive to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to always agree on everything, you know. So it comes to a point to where you're going to have to sit down and have a discussion until you can come at an even pass on the conversation on anything that you're dealing with in life. Because one person is not going to always be able to make the decision. You're supposed to be able to make decisions together.
Absolutely. And Deacon, that was a very good point, and I'm going to tell you, caller, I see you there. I'll bring you in just a minute. I absolutely agree. The word submissive seems to be a problem, and once again, you have helped me now reconnect with yet another vision of independence that I see. Independence for a woman, when it first came to the table, was to prove that she can do the jobs a man can do. All right, because there was such a thing about women can't be construction workers, women can't be up in office, women can't do this. That's what I see independence to be. Not that you eradicate the male role. And already as a black community, the black male's role is being eradicated, is being diminished. They're accepting a feminization. We are emasculating our own men. We are doing certain things. We are supposed to be our own protection from the outside forces. And one of the things that you said with regards to disconnecting from our spirituality, absolutely. Whether you are a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, whatever the case is, us having a belief in a higher deity is one of the things that gave us moral structure. I attended a Bible study last night that the question on the table became, does the community make the church or does the church make the community? All right? The church was always supposed to be our moral structure and instructions. That is the way it was supposed to be. That is how we formed what was right and wrong about the way we operate. Removing all things from spirituality into our daily being is one of the problems. We speak about outside forces once again, like the media. Definitely, the media has definitely effeminized our men. This sagging crap, the fact that we have adopted our preconditioned oppression and way of thinking into adopting stupid cultures as our own, making it cool, doing whatever, this is what we do. On the other hand, one second, Stalo, because I do need to let our other panelists say in just a second. Another thing that tends to come from it is that we spoke again about another very important factor that has been gone from our community, the church. So the leaders who are supposed to guide these people are also gone. Once again, you have gay pastors now.
What?
You have gay pastors that are taking the male role out and the women's role out. You are turning men into women, women into men. You're having, more of the same-sex parents. And like I said, I have absolutely no problem with people's lifestyle. That's not for me to judge. It's not for me to condemn. It's not for me to condone. It isn't. But what I'm saying is tradition or things as we know it or the way things were or the way it's been operated, there are a lot of things being taken away. And a lot of times, understand, I'm not speaking about anybody that was born with it or whatever. I don't know what's what on that one, but I will say this.
Sure.
I know a lot of times when you see young women that are lesbians that become gay or turn to that whatever, they do become gay because they've been raped, they've been molested, they don't trust males. That's the way it is. So how do you fight that fact? How do you fight that connecting factor?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these males, they're unpopular, they're whatever. But you know something? If the person is born that way, they are. There's nothing you could do about it. I don't, like I said, I have no problems with anybody being who they are. Everybody to me is human. But as far as us women, adding to the pool of diminishing the male's role in the black community, the people who procreate, who continue life, who leave their legacies, we are already facing a society that refuses to allow us to continue a legacy in the way that we were originated. Let me bring in our panelists because I definitely need to hear from them. Hang on one second. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Katie, what's going on? It's Professor Carl Tone Jones calling from Philly.
All right. Hey, Professor.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
All right, weigh in on this.
So, in addressing the whole thing about the independent black women's movement, and
yeah,
how
on
it
the,
affects
on, and the effect on our youth because of it.
Okay, so when you go back and check out the history of it. It grew out of, the Black Liberation Movement / there was also the feminist movement within the white community. All right. So the black feminists, according to this is their history, according to them, and this is why I'm talking about the black feminists for a second, because they are the ones who spurred the black independent women's movement. So it spurred out of feeling as though they were being left out of the black liberation movement, but it also spurred from them facing racial discrimination in the feminist movement, where there was segregation, and I believe we spoke about that before.
Yeah.
Bringing that full circle and understanding how it affects our situation today, we have to look at the true motivating factors behind the origins of the movement. And the origins of the movement, it was funded with Rockefeller money, and it was funded with Jewish banker money. Why do you think that movement was spurred? And when you look at the agenda of that movement, you see that the agenda of that movement is always to created division within the black community between black men and black women. Now, mm-hmm. fast forward to where we are now. When you look at how the independent woman is in terms of raising her children, it's not like a single black mother raising her children 20, 30, 40 years ago. A single black mother raising her children 20, 30, 40 years ago had the benefactor of having male role models and people who would, and males who would be engaging in that child's life.
Yes.
Nearby, whether it was an uncle, whether it was a grandfather, whether it was one of your neighbors, it was somebody, and it was welcome that man would step in and do things. You would have men who were mentors at the Boys and Girls Clubs, so they would gather mm-hmm. all the kids, and they would go to the baseball games or whole league basketball games, and there was always lessons being taught about respect, treating women, I'm talking specifically for the boys now, treating women properly with in regards to how you would want someone to treat your mother, and you would hold women into higher esteem. What you have nowadays is situations where the whole independent women's movement is focused on blocking all that out and saying, I am going to succeed with raising a child of all of you who may have been there before. Now, you also have, as you identify, men who are not stepping up to the plate, causing a lot of issues in terms of the psyching of those women. So now you have those sisters who have been dealing with men, now you have the bitterness there. And I'm going to prove not only to you but to the world that I can raise this child alone. And now what we're having in our communities are dilemmas where that can't be because a village used to raise our children. Now it's a single person trying to raise multiple children. And
right.
that causes so much conflict because in place of the discipline that was put in there, in place of the real pearls and jewels of wisdom that was bestowed from man to young boy and so forth, even from man to young daughter about how she should be treated by men and so forth, that's all been replaced with the material objects. It's all been replaced with the media propaganda and stimuli and so forth as to what these young boys and girls are growing up with. Now, independent mom is working three or four different jobs, and she's not even home. So, you know, we have this situation where the children are also, in addition to all that, the children are also used nowadays more so as pawns, and whether it's a business type of a deal or whether it's some type of vendetta where everybody ends up in family court. So, you know, you have a lot of different things going on. I know I rambled a little bit because I was trying to get it all in there, but we're in trouble, people.
We are in trouble. It's funny you should bring up the 2 and 3 jobs because one of the replies that I received today in the free broadcast discussion was on point. And then there's another thing I want to reiterate. Number one, a single mom that has to do 2 and 3 jobs because she is doing what she has to do to make ends meet because the counterpart didn't step up or is not stepping up or is unavailable to step up, be it by death or disability or mental illness or incarceration. Okay, we're not speaking about you ladies. You ladies are doing what you have to do, and especially nowadays with the lack of that village. But one of the things that was in this reply, and I'm trying to figure out what it was so I could give her props on the air, was said, do you really believe that a single black mother chooses to work 2 and 3 jobs if she didn't have to? And the answer from one who does is hell no.
We do not want to go out there and have to work 2 and 3 jobs, because after the 2 and 3 jobs, we still have to come home and be mom. We still have to make dinner. We still have to tell our kids to clean their room. We still have to be there for their soccer games. We still have to be there to help them with their homework. We still have to raise them.
Yeah.
We still have to try to get sleep between all of that. We still got to find time to be just women between that. And what happens in that respect is that we lose our individuality, and we still have to try to be efficient as both parents. So hell no, those of us that's not trying to take independent women to a whole nother level. Okay, we prefer to do that. We are not trying to do that. So for you single moms who's busting your ass out there and trying to fight economy, trying to fight the prejudice, the white supremacy, the lack of your counterpart being there, still trying to give your children the respect toward their fathers that they need, I'm not speaking to you. These aren't your shoes. Don't even step in them. I'm speaking to you ladies who refuse to face the fact that whatever bad choice you made, or continuous bad choices that you made in the partner, turned out wrong, so now you're bitter, you're angry, you don't want to try again.
Mm-hmm.
You've indulged yourself and overindulged yourself in doing it for yourself. You forgot that there's kids beneath you that don't just need yourself. You forgot that maybe that guy that's out there, that might, maybe he got a mouth you don't like, but he's not bad otherwise, needs to have the room to flow and flourish and do his damn part. I'm talking about you vindictive women that are out there trying to get your groove on by sticking it to him for leaving you in the first place. That's putting him in a system that doesn't already like him as it is. That's using the child support in the public assistance area to stick it to him, thinking that you're going to get your groove on and do whatever you got to do. Meanwhile, your kids are watching this, and they're growing up to be just like you. Get the hell over yourself and stop giving these white supremacists all the ammunition they need to continue to eliminate, eradicate, and take away our black men. They are trying to do their role. They're facing an economy that does not want to support them, that will take the men at half their worth, that will use their abilities, their ingenuity, their originality, their resourceability to their benefit, and then chew them up, spit them out, and put the full blame on them.
Oh, dear.
Okay? And then turn around and hear from the one person they're counting on to counter their bad days and all that depression that they feel from it. Who's telling them the same damn thing? Where they're sitting up there trying to be fathers, but they're looking at you and they're looking at the world and they're saying, well, what the freak do I do now? What do I do? Get out with it. Let me go SAG and try to gain my youth back at 50. Let me go commit a crime so these white guys can just put me out of my misery.
And, you know, with the depression that we all face, and like I said a long time ago, the entire black community is dealing with a condition of post-traumatic stress syndrome, which leads to a lot of different issues and so forth. So when we have additional stressors that we place on ourselves, it exacerbates our situation within the community, and it takes us to another level where, you know, we wonder why our health is failing so much. We wonder why we're stressed out so much and we're dealing with so much, because we're adding all of these things based on societal pressures that are not organic. These are manufactured societal pressures that we place on ourselves. You know, there was a time where it was safe to be outside, so we didn't all spend time in front of the TV, so we didn't receive our influence from television. Television wasn't a 24-hour-a-day thing. In fact, I still recall the time when TV went night-night, and you know, the channel shut off from 2 a.m. to about 6 a.m. when the morning news started to come on. I'm not sure if I'm just filling my age out there, but, you know, I can recall those days. So Now we're saturated with this media. Now we're saturated with social media and things of that nature. And they become our influences. They become our teachers. And they become our role models. And then when we're saturated with all this garbage, then you hear this, we're in a 24-hour news cycle. So we're getting all this information, all this input and things of that nature. And it's destroying the very fabric of not just the black community, all communities, but it hits us the hardest because we don't have the resources to bounce back like other communities do. So when we start to take those hits, when we start to jab at each other, be it black men, black women, be it the black elder to the black youth, when we start to take those jabs, we don't bounce back from that because, you know, we take those hits. And enough of those hits went down for the count. We're already dealing with systematic, you know, racism, white supremacy. Now we're dealing with the internal hatred that spawned within us, and that is the reason why we have all of these self-identified movements within our movement that are tearing each other apart. Because we're still searching. Everybody's still searching for what we can identify with so that we can find peace within us, so we can find love with what we see in the mirror, you know. And I think Deacon hit on something really strong. There was a time when people in the black community loved each other. And that time was when we all met up and went to church.
Yes.
People keep forgetting. A lot of people forget. Even though we have all come to the understanding that Christianity, Islam, these are all retold stories based on our African heritage, from the Nile Valley civilizations and so forth. We all understand that, but it's still the same story. And a lot of people want to walk away from the faith because they want to stop identifying with the oppressor. You can stop identifying with the oppressor and maintain your faith in the Most High. And the Most High will take us places, because when we maintained our faith in the Most High, we understood that there was a bigger plan out there for us.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it was bigger than any one person in that room, that everybody needed to love one another for the sake of the community.
Professor, there's another panelist coming in, okay? Just give me a sec, because I don't want anyone to lose any time, so hang on a second. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
How you doing, Katie? This is Patrick.
Hey, Patrick, how are you?
Hey, Patrick. What's up?
And allow me to say thank you, because I think I forgot to mention you in my earlier thank you to the panelists. I'm going to get to you in just a minute. I want to touch on something that the professor said, and then I'm going to go to you.
Yes, ma'am.
Professor,
yes.
You're absolutely right. And Deacon touched on it before you called in as well. Disconnecting from our moral instructional fiber, which was the church, is one thing that happened. But I start to think a little bit more about why that disconnection happened. Our church is dried up, that big part of the village. Because understand, when we speak about that village of men that was around for the single moms of the yesteryear, okay, they had the church. Even when they were down, the church, like I said, had a connection, they had a connection, they had a connection. The pastors were the personal connections to the family. I remember when they used to make jokes about, you know, curly-haired, jerry-curled Reverend Jones coming to sit at your table every week. You know? There was, you know, do you remember when the black comedies used to talk about the preacher that used to come in and they were looking to drip the grease off their fingers from some fried chicken that one of their constituents or their members had? There used to be a time when people gave a damn, when the village gave a damn. Now, I do believe a lot of everything that's happening nowadays is dejection. It's like everywhere they turn, they're in a brick wall. But one of the things that we did have was that no matter what the hell the world did to us, we had each other. And understand, black women, that black men go by what black women say, especially their black women. Mm-hmm. And I'm not speaking about you cheating guys. I'm not speaking about you guys that think you're supposed to have every black woman. I'm speaking about you men that you go out there and maybe you stay in the street a little too long and your woman's telling you that you need to spend more time with your kids, and then she gets angry and then you're back. But at the end of the day, you guys really had a heart and really cared about what your woman said. All right, and really cared about the fact that ultimately your kid was starting to be affected by it. Well, understand this, black women. Independence is not supposed to be detached, disconnected. It's supposed to mean that you can handle things in the interim. That's what it's supposed to mean. It's not supposed to mean to hang around for eternity either, while this guy is playing around because he's counting on the fact that his woman's going to be there. I'm saying that if you got a guy that pretty much is at 85%, that he does take care of his children, that he does come home, that he might be on the street a little too much with some of those immature single friends he's still trying to hang with, but overall, he respects you, and as much as you might argue, he'll never call you a bitch in front of your kid, and he will do for his kid, and he does care whether his child assembly was there with his presence or not. That's the ones you don't sit there and further mess up. When you got
precisely
the cops looking at him simply because he's tall and dark and want to shoot him down, he don't need you to shoot him down too. Patrick, what's your take, babe, on tonight's topic? How does the independent woman emergence now affect our black youth?
Well, I want to hit two things real quick. First, culturally, I think it's very important that we understand that the definition of man and the definition of woman plays an important role in how a particular culture evolves and survives over time. And that definition needs to be challenged and needs to be redefined every so often so that the culture can continue to grow with the times and thrive with the times. And when you're talking about this new modern definition of independent woman, you're talking about a movement. You're talking about a movement that I like to say, when especially speaking to the women that you're talking about, the women that are not doing it out of necessity, but are doing it out of a desire or a false presumption that they don't need a man for anything. I like to think that a lot of the black movements nowadays stem from the logic of gaining white sympathy by playing to black stereotypes. And what
wow.
I mean by that is, instead of, what I mean by that is, I'm going to show these white people how bad I have it, but I'm going to show them how strong I am that I can overcome. So it's kind of counterintuitive to being black. I'm going to show these white people how successful I can be despite all of the situations by moving out of the black neighborhood and into the white neighborhood, by moving my kids out of the black schools and moving them into the white schools, by doing certain things that kind of are like a distancing maneuver in a way to say I'm not like them. Now, I don't know that they're thinking about this on a conscious level. As a matter of fact, I can guarantee you they aren't. But the reasoning, when you talk to a lot of these women for the reason, the emotion, and the type of behaviors that you get when you ask them, well, why don't you feel like you need a man, is very similar to that line of thinking of I'm grown and I can do what I want to do, and what I want to do is, fit the stereotype of what they say I'm supposed to be doing. So in that sense, is it really something you want to do, or is it something that you've been programmed to believe is necessary for success? Because again, if we go back to the cultural definitions of a man and a woman, and they're being so vital and instrumental in having the culture survive and thrive over time, you begin to look at men taking on new definitions so that they can survive. Although those definitions are almost always centered around provide and protect, they're still there. Women taking on new definitions so that the culture and the children can continue to survive and evolve. And even though they might all stem from nurturing and whatnot, they might pick up additional roles if the culture dictates that they need to be picked up. So in that sense, Because black people aren't in control of our culture anymore, because our culture is spoon-fed to us, as you guys are saying, through the TV and whatnot, you hear all of the stories about the deadbeat dads. You hear all the stories about, you know, the percentage of women raising kids alone. You hear all of the stories, and all of that in the mind of someone that's watching this on a continuous basis leads that person to think, you know, well, I don't need a man. I ain't going to have a man anyway, so I don't need a man for nothing. I can do it on my own. My mom did it just fine, you know, completely. Not saying single parents, single women can't raise children, because my mom was a single mom, but you still have to acknowledge those male influences that you had growing up. You didn't grow up in a completely feminine-only environment. And to the religious aspect, I think you guys definitely hit on some very powerful points. I was just at a meeting with an architect here in town. He's talking about building black churches, and we got into the discussion of, with all of the different religions and denominations, what if we built a cultural center in every city that was big enough, like a multiplex, if you will, that was big enough so that every denomination of black person in that city could have their church service in this one building at the same time. And that way, all of the black community could drive to one building. There's two common areas, being one being a cafeteria and the other one being a library. So when you go to eat and when you go to study, you're doing that together as a group. And another common area being the playground outside. So when you have functions, you're doing that as a group. Now, of course, you run into all kinds of blocks with that as far as, you know, could the Muslims get along with the Christians? Could the Baptists get along with the Methodists? You know, you run into all kinds of blocks, but it's still a very interesting concept when it comes to thinking about, you know, okay, we can all be united and still believe what we want to believe, because as the professor said, it all came from the same place anyway.
Yeah. Absolutely, Patrick, absolutely. I'm going to tell you that I want to touch on something you just said. First of all, that concept would probably melt the division, you know, between the beliefs in cultures and deities and everything, and possibly reform and re-empower that big unified, you know, situation for the community itself. If everybody could go in that one building and serve their God together and do whatever and learn and build. Understand, each culture, women's roles serve different things. Women's roles in each culture show a different type of strength and importance to their communities in different ways. And we can all learn from each other with that. One of the things I want to touch on when you said, like, your mom was a single mom, and, you know, Professor touched on the previous ancestors' way of being single mothers. Has any of us stopped to think, women, that if we asked those mothers who did it, if they would have done it differently, or what would they have liked about it or disliked about it, if we really heard what the truth behind their feelings were, would we be this way? Would that crap about independent women, the way it's projected today, would that be what we would do? I'm a single mother. I've been for quite some time, and I can tell you right now, I know the importance of having that male village for both my females and my male children. And there's no way in hell that anybody could tell me that if we had a choice, this is the way we'd go. Mm. And I'm going to ask everybody on this panel, do you believe that most of this independent stuff, besides all that we know exists economically, socially, and politically, do you believe that a lot of this independent stuff comes because of the fact that there's been a lot of bad romantic choices and these women just don't want to try again? I'll ask you first, Deacon. I think we lost him again. Stalo.
What was the question Stalo was about?
Do you believe that one of the main factors that has caused this emergence of the independent women of today really comes from the fact that there's been a lot of bad romantic choices? Okay, and they don't want to try it.
I would agree that it comes from a lot of bad romantic choices, and I wouldn't agree that they don't want to try again. I think everybody's, I think what the problem is that the bad romantic choices is a result of just bad behavior. Like, we just adopting so much bad behavior that if we choose to date in this situation, it's going to be dysfunctional. You know, I was even thinking about how the media is encouraging us to do, it's encouraging us, like, and the media even encourages black women to not, to have, like, one male friend and maybe a handful of female friends, all dysfunctional, whom you depend on. That's crazy. And now when I think about it, you know, when you think about it, that's what's being reflected as reality for people now. You see, now it's been reflected as reality. So in that situation, if you do have a baby, what type of network does that child have to pull from? That just that one that you've built for it, just the one you've built for it. And so, you know, it's just bad behavior that we're all encouraged to do, and we're adopting a whole lot of it. And so that's why we're making the bad choices for the most part. We're making bad choices because we're just making bad choices all over the place. But it's easy to not do it because all we got to do, instead of embracing what we see, we just have to reject it at all costs, you know. And that's crazy to think, because then I don't know how it would feel if I didn't reject this stuff right now. You know what I mean? Right now at this moment. But right now is the best time to do it if you haven't done it already.
I thank you for that. I'm going to slightly disagree on one thing. I don't think that the media is just the media nowadays pushing it, because I believe us shortchanging the structure of the basic foundation in the household from the beginning makes or breaks the decision or the acceptance of what the media projects to our girls and our boys. I'm going to say that. I believe if we stop fighting each other in the first place and let each person, each parent do their role, okay, you know, should their parents. I believe that, like I said, a girl's first view of a man or what a man should be is her dad, as well as a boy's first view of a woman is his mother. So I believe that, once again, independent women, it goes back to us giving our men the proper role that they need to play. Even if they're messing up a little bit with it and they're there, listen, let's not be too confrontational in the way that we present what they could do better. The same way we need to be open to what they feel we're not doing better. I'm going to pose that same question to you, Professor. Do you feel that a lot of the way that the independent woman is projected or operates today is because of several failed romantic choices? Caller, I see you there. I'll bring you in just a minute.
Partially. I think that the whole male-female dynamic in terms of how we see one another and the interactions and the anger that it causes. You know, it's ironic that you brought that up, because I jotted a few things down as to why I think we're actually at this impasse in relationships between black men and black women. And you know, we have to look at several different things. One, I've seen this whole dynamic grow as an educator who had an opportunity to educate middle school girls. And I would watch them develop this ideology that pretty much would depict them or allow them to distance themselves from the world. Whereas they would single themselves out, and they would try to counter that loneliness by saying, you know what, I'm going to go out and get pregnant so that I'll have somebody in this world that loves me, based on whatever abuse they may have felt going through, based on whatever trials or tribulations they were going through. They felt alone in the world. And it was ironic when I heard Patrick break it down, because I'm sitting there saying, I watched that whole dynamic take place in the span of several years, and it's just mind-blowing to see it happen in front of you. Now, one more thing we have to look at, well, a couple more things we have to look at, but one in particular is the influence of drugs and drug dealing in the community around this time that we're talking about. You know, a lot of things happen when you had the influence of drugs. First of all, it broke down the structure of the community. So people weren't able to sustain families and so forth because people were getting strung out on drugs. And that adds to the debilitation. Excuse me, I think I just made up a word. But it pretty much destroyed a lot of the fabric that we used to keep in terms of the community. So particularly a lot of the black males, you know, they fell by the wayside because they were the get-high guys or they were influenced by the drugs. Either they were getting high or they were the drug dealers. And one way or another, that made the incompetent parenting. Because it became about material wealth and a lack of being at home because you were always on the street. As you alluded to earlier, Katie, with the person that's not at home, he's on the streets where he should be home. Now, what I see from this, though, and I have to ask this question, who profits from this division? You know,
because we
tend to overlook white supremacy too much, but then when you think about the family court system, the whole family
right.
court system is designed for single parents and the single parent movement within the black community because they have places and farms where they farm our children out. They go after the men. Now it's a felony if you're lacking in child support. You know, so, you know, we have to always keep our eye on the social engineers that create these conditions that allow for our demise to take place right inside of it. Yeah, but in addition to that, yes, the relationships and the mishaps cause a lot of the problems because what happens is people, and I was listening to Corey Holcomb, an old Corey Holcomb show where he spoke on this today. People date images. They don't date people based on whether they like them anymore. They date people on what they project that they should like, on the projection. Like, ooh, he has money, he has a car, I'm going to date him. Ooh, she's this, she's that, I'm going to date her.
No, I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask you this only because time is winding down. Patrick still has to answer. Deacon has to answer. And there's a panelist waiting. I will ask you this. With everything that you have just mentioned, does it still not go back to us breaking down our own family dynamics and having this child grow up to be that person that chooses that way?
Mm-hmm. Say that again. I'm sorry. It broke up.
I said, with everything that you just mentioned, doesn't it still go back to us breaking down our own dynamics of the family to have children to grow up to be this way?
Yes. And the reason is because nobody else is going to do it. Even
with
all those factors that I mentioned, nobody else is going to do it. But we still have people that need to recognize that, Katie, and that's the big thing.
Yes.
Yes. There's going to be something before this show's over that I'm going to put back to what it is that we need to do about that. You and I have spoken on it quite often. Deacon, we lost you a little bit earlier, but the question that I posed to the panel, and then Patrick, it'll be your turn, and then I have to bring our panelists in. We asked the question, do you think that the emergence of your independent woman as it's known to be today is because of their consistent or continuous failed choices in relationships?
Well, I would say yes. It would have an effect from relationships, and also, and I'm gonna keep it 100. It has an effect from your lazy ass so-called men. You know, some of our black men. That's just what I feel because. Some of these people are walking around here saying I'm a man, but what are you doing to show that you're a man? And we have so many problems with some of our youth out here today. Okay,
right.
You have a lot of them want to talk about how some of these youth are so doggone bad, No, no, don't talk about how they're so bad. Go to the dollar store and buy you a mirror before you can start talking about these young people and look at yourself, because that's where it comes from.
We definitely dropped the ball. We say that all the time. We dropped the ball. And Patrick, I'm going to pose that question to you. Do you feel the emergence of the black independent woman as it is today is because of their continued bad choices in relationships and they don't want to try again?
Yes, I definitely think that's part of it, because I've bumped into my share of women that use that as their reasoning. I've also bumped into women that have never been in a relationship, and they've been raised by a single mom who was raised by a single mom, and they just don't feel like they need a man. And then that, I go back to the culture aspect of it, when the professor brought up who's benefiting from it. When we've adopted a culture that is meant to allow another group of people with a different set of ideological beliefs and philosophical beliefs to thrive, that have a different mental makeup from us, when we've adopted their cultural beliefs, their cultural norms, then the culture that we have isn't designed for us. It's designed for them to survive and thrive. And that's what we're going through, I think, as well. In addition to bad relationship choices, I like to say, if you employ a solution and there is no problem, you create the problem that you hope to solve. And I think that what we have going on in Black America, when you look at the white female and the white male, the European male and female, have been fighting against each other for at least the last 200 years, and we've adopted their culture, which puts us fighting each other. But the problem is, we didn't have any real disagreement. Sure, we had issues, but we didn't have any real disagreement. But we've adopted a culture that's attempting to fix a disagreement between us two halves for the last 200 years at least. So what happens is, since we're employing a solution and there is no problem, we're creating the problem. And then later on, maybe 200 years from now, we'll be able to fix the problem that we created today by employing a solution from a culture that wasn't designed for us. But I definitely,
dear God, I hope we don't have to wait that long. I hope we will not wait that long. I truly do. And I'm going to bring in our panelist now, who's been waiting patiently. Hang on. Thank you for waiting, and welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Katie.
Welcome. Finally, a woman. Jeez. Okay.
Yay.
You know, this is the one thing before I get to you, Darlene. It bugs me. We don't get any women callers in about things that we need to empower ourselves. Or when we get male callers in, even when we're celebrating men, we get the bashing men. And it's like, it's crazy. Like, you're bashing your own thing, or women, you're ignoring your own stuff. But let's hear from you. What do you feel, first of all, about the effect on our Black youth, about the emergence of the new Black independent woman? And then after that, since we only have a certain amount of time left, I need you to answer if you believe that this woman, an independent woman thing, has come up because of the fact that we've made so many bad choices and we don't want to try again. So start with the main topic question. What are the effects on the Black youth, the Black youth, all of the independent Black woman?
Well, most definitely, Katie, it has a cause and effect. We blame we are our own worst enemies, that's for the most part. And when we make bad decisions, some of us don't know how to bounce back from it, like our parents and their parents. They were much stronger in certain areas. On a personal level, I believe that not only have the ball been dropped, but we have also lost the meaning and the original definition of the most powerful words that gave us our character. And for the most part, the words are integrity, moral,
absolutely,
support, respect, love, consideration, tolerance, patience. You know, we use those words on a daily basis, but the original meaning has been tossed out the window for all of those words. And we need every last one of those words to build character.
You forgot team. You forgot the word team and teamwork.
Yes, and teamwork. And for me, in order for us to even begin to form any type of group per se, those things need to be replenished because we don't care about each other. We have no love for each other. We have no respect for each other. We have no patience for each other. We have no loyalty. We have no dedication. We have dedication, but only in certain areas. Loyalty, to me, loyalty and dedication are two different things. We're dedicated to make sure that we buy that pair of shoes, but we're not dedicated to make sure our child has a good life and grow up properly. You know, our priorities are totally mixed up, and by us not even having the that full meaning, that impact of those words that applying them to our lives, those are some heavy words. We need to put these words. We need to put the words still exist, but the meaning. We need to go back into the dictionary and find the original meaning of all these words that built up us as a people and have character. You know, the integrity, where's that? Out the window. Where's the respect? Out the window. Where's the love? Out the window. Where's concerns for the other human being? Out the window. Where's the patience? If I'm looking at a young lady screaming her lungs out at her child, I know, but for the most part, she don't have patience for her child, so she definitely don't have patience for a man.
Absolutely. And I'm going to say, Darlene, drop the mic. You just said everything that there is to say from a woman's standpoint. Now, don't get me wrong. You single moms out there, I'm with you. I know there are days that I swear you could look at your kids and be like, I cannot do this right now. I can't. There are days where you look, and sometimes, especially if you got those smart-talking teens, and you look and you go, why am I doing this? Or when you watch how your kids go over to the parent that's not trying to do a thing, and it's like the light of their eye while you're doing everything. I get that. So once again, to those people, I'm not speaking to you. But to those of you who know that your man is given what little money he has, that this oppressing society is allowing him to make, and he's giving you what he can, and you're sitting there thinking about all the nails you can get done, all the weeds you could put in your hair, all the heels you could buy, and all the clubs you could go hit. Shame on you. When you're looking at your daughter and you're trying to dress like she's dressing and she's about two decades your junior, we have a problem. When you're sitting up there telling your child that when your no-good-ass father comes around, this is what you tell them. And you're not telling them that as bad as he is, he needs to have respect. Listen, I've been guilty of my frustrations overrunning my senses at certain times, too. Because you feel you're doing everything you can to try to give the other parent every opportunity that it takes to come to get his stuff together. And then you get kicked in the face for it. I've been there, done that. And there's been times that I swear you're talking on the phone and that person doesn't know how to not say something that's beyond his capacity. And you're trying your best to not let your kids hear it, but they're hearing it. Like I said, we're not applying this particular segment to you ladies. Kudos to you. Because then you got these same men turning around and saying, you're the reason why all this went bad. Meanwhile, they didn't do their part. So to those of you men that are trying to do your part, we recognize the fact that this independent black woman thing, as it is today, is putting you down even further. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying your best to do the best you can with what you have, and you know that you're doing all you can, this doesn't apply to you. and tomorrow's segment doesn't apply to you. Because you men that are out there going, yeah, she done told them, you're on the hot seat tomorrow, don't be a coward, call in. Because regardless of whatever the hell it is, we have problems with, regardless of whatever our individual problems are, that we have problems with, our kids are not to blame. And to those of you that are walking around going, well, my mama did it, I don't need to, ask your mother what she would have done. Ask your grandmother what she would have done. And then, by the way, to those of you that watched them do it and still saw your grandmother and your mother, respect your dad, ask her how she did it. Don't think for one minute that just because she told you to respect that man, she wasn't calling him all sorts of stuff in her head. Ask her how does she balance all of that before you walk around thinking you're doing something in her honor or you're mirroring what she did. Our girls need their dads, their good fathers, to be in that position to say, hell no, I don't care what you see. This is not the way it's supposed to go. And our boys need their fathers to say, that's not being a man, so you a man, huh? We can't say that. We're too busy remembering how long it took us on the labor table to bring them in there. We're too busy doing that. And then we're too busy nowadays looking at them and going, I've done it for 14 years. It's your father's turn to do it. We're too busy doing that. We're too busy trying to show the world that we're trying to be what the people who can't stand us be. Professor, I allude to what you say because you're absolutely correct on that. But Patrick, what you said, maybe it's not a conscious thing. Maybe we've run out of options because our other parts are not doing theirs. Or you know what? The ones we picked that were not supposed to be for us in the first place has tainted all of our thinking for everything else. So maybe that's what we do feel comfort, you know, in trying to achieve. But either way, our children are suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Our boys are sagging and getting shot by the police because of it.
Yeah.
Our girls are sagging and being called all sorts of whores and things because of it. Society is trying to kill our black men, incarcerate our black men, bring them down, keep them down, and tell them, you do it our way and there's no way. And by the way, when you come to our side of the thinking, well, guess what? We're going to use you for everything you can give, and we're not going to pay you a damn thing. And after all of that, they need to come home and go to somebody that they think is worth talking to hear them say, you're not worth my time because I don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need you. I need your sperm because I want to have a kid. Why on earth, then, should they turn around and make the effort to be good men and respect us if that's what we're going to give them?
Mm-hmm.
Why should they? Why should they give a damn about being the epitome of what they used to be if all the hell the people they're doing it for are telling them is, be gone. We don't need you unless we need your penis. We don't need you unless we need the money you're working so hard to make. We can't get on deadbeat fathers who's not trying to be if all we're telling them is go be a deadbeat. We can't get mad about child support problems if we let them get there. We can't turn around and tell them, don't do what you can, but now that you didn't do it, let me go take you to court to make sure you do it. Because we don't need you. We need your money.
That instant gratification is a very powerful thing.
Yes, it is.
It's a killer. It's a killer. Mm. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. This society
it's a time bomb. It's a time bomb. And how do we counteract that? How about we know what we know, we ask what we need to ask, and we give a damn enough to say, I've had enough. I've had enough. I'm so tired of hearing everybody tell me it is what it is. They're never going to let us. We're not going to do anything. You are sitting up there giving Chinese people all of your money for chicken fried rice, but you can't get away with being short of time. Literally. You're giving all of your power to the Arabians who won't let you shop in their stores, especially if you're a black male, young or old. You're letting white teachers tell your sons that all they're going to do is be stuck in the guidance counselor's office and be on the suspensions list because they reacted to somebody else saying something. Because we don't want our fathers going down there to cause a scene. There is nothing wrong with being submissive for a team effort. There is nothing wrong with it. Because just as Deacon alluded to, thank you very much, Deacon, there's a way for you to be submissive without being subjective.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way for you to be submissive in a progressive manner where you're still you and you're still this independent woman and you're still all of this, but your kids benefited from it, your household is safe, and you guys are unified. You may not always agree, but you're supposed to agree to disagree, but you're supposed to be able to say, I'm disagreeing with you because I see that this is going to bring you down. You're supposed to be able to say that.
Mm-hmm. That's how you become complete.
There's about 6 minutes left. I need to bring the panelists in real quick, and then I will. We have to sign off for the night. So, anyone, welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing? I'm 317. I totally agree with you. You know, and this generation, I think we failed the children in this society, and the problem is, you know, we should, as people of color, we should never be in these white people courts. We should never be in their stores. We shouldn't even have contact with white people because they have created the problems here on the planet.
Nobody disagrees with you, honey. Go ahead, baby girl.
You say you disagree?
No,
well,
I said nobody here disagrees with you. I said no one here disagrees with you.
And these Koreans, I don't understand why people invest. They have invested so much money, and it's a Korean shop on every corner. And they give nothing back, and they treat the black people like a piece of crap. They wouldn't be in my community. If you don't spend a dime with them, they'll go away eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if I have to travel way across town, 7 miles to go and buy me a loaf of bread. I will travel across town to spend it in the black community than to give it to these Koreans.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I just brought up the fact we love Chinese food. We'll go to a Chinese food store that has been there for years. We've lived in the neighborhood. We will go and buy every single day. But let us come in and be short a quarter.
Look, let me tell you something. I can fix Chinese food better than some of these Chinese.
That's where we fail. Well, listen, sweetheart, what's your name, babe?
Dinah.
I'm sorry?
Dinah.
Hi, Dinah. Very pretty name.
Hello, Dinah. Welcome.
Hi, Dinah. Welcome.
Only way we as the community and the black people can build anything is to start with economics. Because that's the only thing that white people understand is money.
My God.
That's right.
Where has she been all of these segments?
The only way to
bring us
down is through the economic system. They don't understand anything else.
Absolutely. And
besides violence.
You know what's funny? With everything that we lack, with all the things that we struggle to obtain, with everything they won't let us have, that's the one thing we do have against them. That's the one thing we have against them, and we refuse to take it away from them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we refuse to do. We keep allowing ourselves to be subjected to their crap. We become their clowns. They're always some ponies. They're sluts. They're whores. They're all sorts of stuff. And we turn around and say, thank you. Here's our money for doing it.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm sorry, but I do have to sign off this evening. But to you women out there, you independent black women, you're taking this word to a whole different level. You're taking it to a word that says, white people break up our families, let me help you do it. We need our men in our lives. You made bad choices, suck it up and move on. Look to the next one. If you need, you don't want to be bothered romantically, let a real good man who's in the community be that village we've lost long ago. Tomorrow night, black men, you're on the hot seat. And for those of you listening and cheering, you better bring your shield because I'm going to give it a go in on you. So until tomorrow night, everybody, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. Thank you, panelists. Welcome, Dinah. I hope you're here tomorrow. And to the rest of you out there, if you are doing your thing, single mom, kudos to you. I'm with you. I'm in the same club.
Real black men, step it up.
Real black men, step it up. Despite what she says, okay? You do for your child. So until tomorrow night, everyone, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference, and God bless you all.
Good night, Katie. Good night, Hannah. Love you, Z.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.